All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What? Yeah, there you go. There's those finger points. That way. Perfect. We got it right this time. Welcome, everybody. Episode 73, my lord, of the Fresh Juice podcast. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. You know, just happy to be here, right? Had a pretty busy weekend. Painted the stewed, if anybody's noticed. Going to start being able to put all my, you know, posters up and artwork. So that'll be nice. Kind of make this a little bit humier, which will be nice. What we did on Saturday, and then Valentine's Day, we made pasta, homemade pasta. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Little like in-home date, because Valentine's Day can be like brutal to go out to a restaurant, I always feel like. So usually we do like the raclette, if anybody knows what that is. I know Capullo does, because Capullo's from Switzerland, but it is like...
Yeah, what is that?
It's a type of cheese that you kind of just... You have like this kind of grill, like almost like a griddle on the table, and you just melt the cheese, the raclette cheese. You can also melt other kinds of cheeses as well. And then you kind of like, you're like grilling like vegetables and sausages and stuff like that on top. Normally do that, but for the wedding, we did get a pasta maker. So we're like, let's bust that out. So made some spaghetti. It was delicious, actually. It was really good. We made enough for two nights, which was cool as well. And then played Flesh and Blood on Sunday. My only chance at doing nationals this year, and did not go well. I'll say that. You know, I brought a deck that specifically has a lot of great matchups right now, and then one to two specifically bad matchups that you hope to just not run into. You're like, hope I don't get paired into it. If that doesn't happen, I can afford maybe one pair, you know, get into there. But I started 1-1 and then went three rounds in a row against my worst matchup. So what can you do? Still had fun. It was good to get out and got a nice little promo out of it. And then today got some lunch with the in-laws. That was nice. Went to a nice Peruvian place near us. It was tasty. And I got to play a little bit more of the game that we're playing this week, which is Dawnfolk. Folks, if we haven't mentioned it, we're going to be talking about that soon. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good overall. We started Pluto, our pup, his first class of therapy dog training. Nice. Yeah, just because, you know, as we announced last week, I am going to be Daddy Juice. So we figured it'd be good for him to, he went through like obedience training and then therapy dog training might help. And it's kind of interesting. They're going to be bringing out wheelchairs and walkers and stuff. So the dogs like get used to them. And so if they go visit people at like nursing homes or whatever, or hospitals, you know, they're not like freaked out by these things they've never seen, I guess. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of, I didn't even think of that. Like for some reason I was thinking the training would be different. So, yeah, so that was good. We also went to, there's a place that our buddy, our mutual buddy, Pat, has said is very good, called Panini Bistro.
Ooh.
There's four of them in Jersey, I believe. So we happened to be near one of them. And I was like, hey, let's go pick it up and try it out. And it was delicious. And this is the, I haven't had many paninis in my life. Just not, hasn't been really something I've had quite a bit. So and these are particularly good. And they have a bunch of other stuff too. But I got to shout out Panini Bistro. We've had it twice. And yeah, it's been solid. Very, very good.
Taking a look at the menu now. I mean, this is right up my alley. I do like a nice panini. I like a nice pressed sandwich.
Yeah.
Which one did you get?
So I got basically like the Reuben one. And then I got another one that was just a variation on another pastrami sandwich. So I've got two, but I'm going to get like, they have a lot of, you know, they have like 40 plus paninis. So I'm just trying to work my way through. I think each time I have it, I'll just get a new one. But I was really in a pastrami mood for some reason. So I went with that, a different version of it. But yeah, it was good. Good onion rings, you know, good fries. And it was good. Yeah. So other than that, though, I guess another, you know, it's been a food-filled weekend. We did a belayed Valentine's. So we went to this place, Charcoal is what it's called. And okay. It's a steakhouse kind of place. And I actually got like spicy rigatoni vodka. They like hand make their pasta there. And my wife got like a steak sandwich. Delicious stuff, delicious food. Really good place that we like going to from time to time. So food filled weekend, you know, it's about it. Did some chores around the house and all that stuff too, trying to organize for the baby and all that jazz. But
Food is cool. Organizing for the baby is also cool. It's been a windy weekend as well.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yes. I mean, for those listeners out there from the Jersey area, I mean, it sounded like a train was going by my house. And I do not live near a train. And it was pretty wild. I will say we did watch some of the SNL 50th anniversary stuff this weekend, which was happening. And I had a nightmare last night about a land shark, which obviously land shark is from the original SNL cast and not scary, but like in my mind, there was a giant land shark going to burst out of like a parking lot and kill me. So that was cool. Now,
nice.
We do have a great episode for you all today. We're going to be talking about Dawnfolk in a bit here, but first, some news. We actually don't have a lot of news, but the biggest news of all time is that we do have a Discord, which is free for everybody to join. It's in the show notes below. It's a great place to hang out, ask questions to the show, like this show, and which we will have questions from juice heads coming from that Discord, as well as, you know, recommend some games, check out some games other people are recommending. You know, we only cover one game a week. There's a lot of games that come out, folks. And, you know, we covered some great games so far, but there were some other bangers that have come out so far in this month alone, like Keep Driving, people keep talking about as kind of a smash hit here. So, you know, check out the Discord, folks. Some other stuff in the news. Nothing really. It's been slow. It was a slow week.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing, nothing really jumped out. You know, sometimes when you're looking at the indie news, it's just roundups of like the 10 best games I've played this year, you know, things like that. So it just happens to be one of those weeks. But yeah, that's all right though. We got plenty to talk about with Dawnfolk.
Yeah. Yeah. We sure do. Now, what is Dawnfolk? You might be asking. Dawnfolk is a charmingly dark and minimalist survival city builder. We don't do a lot of these kinds of games. Gather resources, rebuild your realm, and protect your people from oppressive shadows. Can you unveil the secrets of the monoliths to bring light back to the world? Now, this is developed by one person, Darren Keller. Shout out Darren Keller. And also make some cool YouTube videos about the game as well. And it's published by Astrological. It's on Steam. And it is $14.99, but 15% off until $2.20. So you'll have a day or two to check out that sale for the introductory kind of stuff. I usually start with the gameplay. You want to talk about your thoughts on the gameplay here, Matt?
Yeah, sure. You know, like Tommy said, we don't really play these. This is the first probably actual city builder that we've played. Maybe preserves kind of like that environment builder, but definitely not as like intricate as a game like this. So I don't really play a lot of these games. And I was pleasantly surprised. Let me get the gameplay playing right there. There it is. There you have it. Boom. So I don't really play a lot of these kind of games, but what's great about this game is that it's built on, I'm not super familiar with city builders, but this is built on like a grid system. And we'll talk about the art style too, because it kind of plays into like, there's like simplicity with the gameplay here, but also a decent amount of complexity the further that you go. So I really appreciated that in the gameplay, you know. So you kind of start out with, like I said, this kind of small grid. It's I think typically it's like a 3x3 grid. And in the middle, you have your tent. And around you, there could be things like, you know, the other blocks of the grid could be a forest, or it could be a desert, or it could be, you know, you can, it could just be plains, maybe some seawater, you know, things like that. So it's kind of got these different biomes in each of these grids. And each biome kind of allows you to do different things. So you would maybe on the plains, you could drop down like a crop field, and then you could plant some wheat. And basically what you're trying to do by placing these items on these different blocks is accumulate all these different types of currency. So you have like a light currency, you have a people currency. So there's certain things like building more tents means that you have better people generation. You also have like corn. So that's like your food. So that's what you're building the wheat, I guess, for. I don't know if it is corn that, or if it says wheat field, but you're getting,
there is corn. A corn field as well.
There is a corn field. Okay. Yeah. I just kind of realized that, but you're getting food, and then you have like a wood or resource kind of currency as well. So you're basically trying to achieve these certain quests that are presented to you, and you're doing it by you know, placing certain things down and trying to get synergy with different blocks. Now, like I said, it's a 3x3 block when you start, but you do see kind of dimmed blocks that you have to use that light currency in order to illuminate, and that's how you kind of expand your territory. And there is a limit in the number of blocks. I think you'll eventually hit the edge, which it's not that far. But it'll tell you that you hit the edge. But yeah, you're trying to get these like different synergies with these blocks in order to accumulate enough currency to get these quests done. So I really appreciated like the simplicity of that. Like when I think of a city builder, I'm thinking of something like City Skylines, and I'm like, that can get pretty complex. And like, I don't know if I'm ready for a game like that. But I felt like, you know, I think the description is perfect. Like it's a charmingly dark and minimalist survival city builder. Like that is like minimalist survival city builder is exactly what this is. So I really appreciated that. And another thing with the gameplay is that there are so many modes in this. So like there's a lot more content than I was anticipating. So there's a story mode, which has different kind of levels that you go through, and each of those levels has different difficulties as well that you can unlock. And then there's a puzzle mode. So it'll kind of give you a situation, it'll give you a certain grid layout, and it'll say, okay, figure out how to generate this many people, or, you know, figure out how to do this with kind of what we gave you. So there's different puzzle modes. There's also something called Curious Expeditions, which I did one of, which were, you know, the level I was thrown into was all desert. So you kind of had to figure out, or most of it was desert. You had to figure out how to like generate food in a desert environment. So that was kind of tricky. Then there's a sandbox, which I guess I haven't actually unlocked that yet. I guess you could just kind of do whatever you want in there. And then there's an endless mode. So you just kind of keep going. So yeah, a lot of modes. Didn't expect that in a game like this. A lot of depth to the gameplay overall. So yeah, I really enjoyed the gameplay here, and I was going in thinking this was going to be, you know, a struggle. It is, you know, it is kind of, once you get to a certain point, you really need to think about the synergies with everything. So it can be a little bit overwhelming, but there's no time limit, right? Really, at the end of the day, I mean, there is a day cycle in the game that you can skip through, and then there will be certain enemies that come out at certain points. But I think you can kind of go indefinitely. So you can really take as long as you want, I think, as long as you have enough of the currency to kind of dispel the bad guys as they come. So anyway, there's a lot to the game. Yeah. But Tom, what did you think about the gameplay here?
Yeah. I mean, to speak to kind of what you finished there on, like, you know, you have this natural time, like day cycle going on, and you have the ability to pause it. And then you have the ability to fast forward it, right? So you can pause it and take your time to make a decision, which is like kind of what you'll need eventually, or even at the gates, right? There is a little bit of a learning curve, but once you get the hang of it, and I will say the main character here, Lior, or I'm not sure how you're supposed to pronounce it, but the flame that is kind of basically the main character along with you trying to build out this kind of world is very helpful and kind of like really simple to the point. like, hey, this is why we're doing this. This is why you need it. Now, I love the kind of balance here. You know, you mentioned the four different resources, the light, the people, the corn, and then whatever the building supplies is. Mm-hmm. And it shows you up on top. It's got a great little display there, how many of each you have and how many that you're generating. So the cool thing about it is, like, the decision-making here is, okay, let's say you need, I'm really low on people. I need to generate more people. So you're like, I'm going to build some tents, but the tents also come at the cost of consumption of your food. So you can get to, like, negative food if you're watching the video here, but if you're going to check out this gameplay, you'll see that on the display there that you have how many you're generating each turn. You can get to negative, and that's how you're going to start losing different spots on your map. So I really like that kind of balance. You're like, oh, I really need this, but I don't know if I can really give up the food production, or if I'm going to build this to get more people, it's going to take up food. I need to build something else. It's going to take up, going to create some food, et cetera, et cetera. So I really like that balance, that, like, kind of push and pull. And as you're going through this game now, you know, you mentioned all the modes, but I haven't even tackled the other modes yet, because I've been kind of sucked into the story mode, and we'll talk about the story, but, you know, I wasn't really expecting a story mode in this game. So it was nice to kind of, like, go through the different levels and experience this game, like, in the way that they want you to, right? To kind of, like, show you, all right, this is, you know, the first level, you're kind of in the basic land. These are going to be basic tiles that you're going to discover, yada, yada, yada. This is how you can kind of build out. And then you get into a more desert-like area, and then, you know, there's more challenges there. And then you go on, you go into the sea, yada, yada, yada. It's all, like, really, really well laid out, and we'll talk about the story as well. The discovery aspect is really cool as well, right? You know, you're illuminating these tiles, and as a huge Loop Hero fan, I was getting Loop Hero vibes from this, kind of a similar idea that you're kind of in nothing and you need to build it out yourself and, like, you know, make it do what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that kind of discovery. Now, I also like that you're getting these, like, little question marks. So you're trying to figure out what's behind those question marks. It can be something good, can be something bad. Now you have this enemy type archetype in this game, these obelisks, this darkness, right? You're the light, the darkness is the bad guy. All makes sense. And, you know, it really gets to the point where you're going to have to keep in mind, because as the day cycles go, you might just get surprised by some dark attacking your stuff. So you need to have the amount of light to be able to battle it. Now, the coolest part of this game, and it's, like, such a simple thing, and I just love it, is, like, the mini game aspect. Whenever you want to do something specifically on a tile, whether it's hunt something or chop down trees or battle the darkness, you go in, you just play, like, a really quick mini game, which you don't have to. You can actually build something out that will play the mini games for you, but, like, it's just fun. It's just like a little stupid thing. Now, the way you play them is like, it costs resources to do the thing. And based on how well you do the thing will either net you more resources in what you were trying to get or prevent you from losing more resources. So all that being said, this was, like, such a cozy little gameplay experience that, you know, was very surprising to me as well, because I'm not a big city builder player either, but it just was, like, fun to play. And, like, you know, at certain points you're like, wow, like, I really built out something really cool, and it kind of held my hand along the way, at least in the early game, which was kind of nice. And then you get to the later game, you're like, oh, I'm ready to actually do it on my own. So big fan of everything going on in the gameplay here. Now, how much of the story did you get through, and how'd you like it?
I don't think I got through too much, because I actually was playing through, like, the puzzle and the Curious Expeditions mode a bit. So I didn't get through too much of the story other than, I guess, finding out the name of the bad guy, Noir, right?
I guess Newt, I think.
Newt. Yeah. Yeah, so I got to that point in the story where it's kind of the inverse of this flame character that Tom was mentioning before that kind of keeps, I guess, placing these sort of like darkness tornadoes down that like destroy some of your blocks. So there's, you know, like you said, you're kind of dispelling the darkness, so that there's that kind of inherited story there. But I didn't get too far into it because honestly, like you, I wasn't really expecting there to be a story in the game. So it's really cool that there is. Not that it's a very in-depth story, at least from what I got through, but it at least was like enough to keep me a little bit interested. It reminded me of like I played like Ring Fit Adventure, which is like a workout game for the Switch. And they kind of have a story in there to keep you going. But, you know, it's really just about the levels that you're going through. But yeah, I don't know. How far in the story did you get? Was there a lot more to it?
I guess I'm like about halfway. I unlocked all of the the story levels because like, you know, you generate these. I forget what the currency is for like the meta progression, but you generate this currency. When you go back to the main menu, you can unlock things like the modes or different levels. And then each level in the story, also you can unlock the higher difficulty. You can play normal, hard, and then there's like impossible or something like that that you can unlock. So, you know, for people who want more of a challenge or get used to this game and want the challenge, they can do that. And I got halfway through. Now, I would say the first two levels, there's not a whole lot of story, right? You're just kind of going through. You're kind of understanding what's going on. And then you get to the third level. And I think that's when the flame character, I don't know how to pronounce it. But the flame character says, I don't really remember what I was before this, before you start playing this game, really. And I want to start figuring it out, right? So it gives you like a goal. So you'll go around and you're trying to find secrets and, you know, kind of hints as to what this character is. And then as you do that, you will kind of find your end goal to get to. And, you know, it's not really a spoiler alert because you could see what the last level is called based on what you can unlock. I don't know what happens in it, but the last level is called Beacon of Light. So your whole goal here in the story is to kind of bring light back to the world. It's been shrouded in darkness. So it's just a really like cute little story point. And like, you kind of get these little tidbits of nice little lore as you play, especially once you get to that third level, like, or even in the second level, you start to get it. In the second level, you have to take care in one of two ways, orcs. So orcs will show up, these orc camps, right? And if you ignore them, they'll start destroying your stuff. So you have to deal with them in one of two ways. One of the ways is killing them, battling them. Or the other way is to make peace with them, you know, get like a treaty going. So I chose to like make peace with all of them. Because it was honestly cheaper in resources to do, but like also I was like more interested as to like why that was an option. So every time you did it, they would kind of give you a tidbit. Each orc camp would be like, oh yeah, we're like aggressive because X, Y, and Z, something happened to us. So like you're kind of getting the motives behind these like kind of NPCs in this story. And then, you know, then there's like other lore stuff, like there's pirates in one that are like trying to plunder stuff. And then like a witch will show up, and then like a druid shows up in like a different like forest. And it's like, the druid's like, you can go left, right, or middle. And you're like, I'll pick one of them. I don't know what's going to happen. So like, it's kind of chock full of these like little mini, almost like random encounters in like a RPG, which I really liked. And it was very cool. I'm fully invested in the story, and I'm actually really excited to continue to play. So I'm a huge fan of it.
Hell yeah. No, that's awesome. Especially like a game like this, even just watching the gameplay, you're probably not thinking there's a lot of story to it. So I'm surprised it kind of got that depth that you're talking about where, you know, it just, I want to figure out who I was before this. I'm like, whoa, this just got deep, you know, out of nowhere. But that's pretty cool. For sure. And I know, you know, another strong point of the game, in my opinion, is the art. You know, it's got this really great pixel art, that also it uses light really well. Obviously we're talking about like dispelling darkness. But I just really enjoy kind of the, the brightness of the light for some of the upgrades that you get. I also think the UI is really well done. It's very simple. You know, it's not too busy. I find that like when I look at other like city builders, it can kind of look a little overwhelming. This game definitely doesn't feel like that. But yeah, the really each block has like a good amount of detail to it. But it doesn't ever to me, you know, there might be different biomes that are kind of like up against each other. You know, that's usually how it's kind of laid out. I mean, you can kind of see it right now, but it never looked like bad to me. Like it still made sense from like the grid system. I was never like, oh, there's like, this looks ugly. It definitely still, you know, kind of came through because it's such strong pixel art and it's so detailed with each block. So yeah, I don't have a lot of notes about the art because I think it kind of speaks for itself, but, I really enjoyed it in this game, and I'm curious to see, you know, you obviously got through more of the story than I did. You know, how did the other enemies look? Cause I met the orcs, you know, and I some other enemies too that were like giant rock creatures and things like that, but, didn't get to see those other ones. So curious what your thoughts are on those.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that the visuals here are so incredible, and it's just like cute pixel art. It matches the vibe. It's really doing a great job here. The contrast, like you said, of the light to dark is really neat. And it's just like easy on the eyes, right? Like that, it can be so overwhelming playing like a city builder and other things like it, that it could be so easy for things to get out of control. So I really enjoy it. And then even the little dynamic movement within these tiles is really great. I mean, if you're watching the YouTube video right now, there is like a tornado happening. It happens throughout the game, and it always looks really cool, but also it's like you associate it with the stressfulness of it, which is kind of fun. There's one of the mini games happening right now as well, which is a lot. It's just like, it's fun. It's just straight up fun. And I do love, especially as you continue through the story, some of the other tiles that you get presented with look like, cause you get used to these basic ones, right? Forest, desert, you know, some tents, this, that, the other thing, maybe some water. But then you see some of like the weird random ones. Like there was a swamp one shows up, and it just looks so different from the rest of the tiles, and like a witch will show up there and build a house. And then you're like, oh, maybe I want to keep this witch because like she can make potions, but then she like eats some of your people or something like that. And you're like, now I gotta kill you. You know, it's like it was really impressive. And there's one level before the last level, it's called the Cults or whatever. I don't know what it's about. It's not a spoiler alert, but you just see, like on the menu, it has a tile of like these purple glowing houses, and you're like, I gotta get to at least that level because that looks so cool. Yeah. So, huge fan of the art here, and you know, just to kind of keep going, the visuals are pretty sick too, or not the visuals, the sound and the music.
Yeah, we just talked about it, Tom. I know. Yeah.
Sorry, no, the sound and the music is quite good. Now, I think the sound effects really shine here. Kind of whenever you're moving, right? You kind of get this like it sounds like a little bubble popping. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're going from tile to tile, and it sounds really neat. Then you kind of get that slow little pixelated fire sound from your main character that you kind of just hear throughout the game, which is kind of fun. And then you got, you know, rain effects, and then you can kind of feel the different sounds are even kind of funny at times. Like when you hunt things, because you can hunt things, it becomes like a little mini.